Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. And I want to encourage you, if you're ever off on a Wednesday morning, at 10 o'clock here, we have a prayer service. It's off the hook. We seek the Lord. If you're ever available, come on out and join us and pray. And I believe the Lord does nothing outside of prayer. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 18. My message title tonight is The Power to Produce. How many want to be a producer in here? How many of us that we can consume, but I really want to produce? How many want to have life and life more abundantly? You know, the Bible always calls it your barn's full and your vat's full. You know, in modern vernacular, how many of us that your home's full and God's working on your bank account? Say amen.
Amen.
Can God make all grace abound?
Yes.
Tiffany, do you mind if I share a brief testimony, what you share with me about the increase? You know, Tiffany, Jeff mentioned a couple weeks ago about giving a dollar more in for the building fund. And Tiffany said, you know what, I can do that. And then wasn't long at her work, she got a raise and didn't even realize it until they told her about it. Amen? I mean, it was that God's able. So the money that she already gave, she already got back. I mean, you can't outgive God. Amen? Now, in producing, I know that if you don't plant a seed, you'll never get a harvest. Do you all agree? And we can't just eat our seed either. A good farmer will take what he needs to have his family taken care of, but not eat all his seed so he starves. Are you with me? I believe personally every seed that you sow, every word of God you put in here germinates and produces. The problem isn't with the seed. The seed's always good. It's the soil on which the seed receives. It's possible to come to church, have a hard heart, and leave the same way you came in, even though the word of God was good. Say amen. It's also possible to come in and you're thirsty and you're hungry and you want all that God has, and all of a sudden, boom, man, the word of God hits you, and all of a sudden, man, God, I want to know more. I want to grow more. I like that step. But it takes the watering and the washing of the word, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we have to subject the soil to deep saturation of God's word in his spirit. I'll make this statement to you flat out. If somebody doesn't pray, they're hiding. Say amen. If people avoid prayer meetings, it's only because they're hiding from it. Oh, I'm preaching now. Listen to me. If you go to a prayer meeting and you're undone, that's a good place to be. If you go to a prayer meeting, you get convicted, that's good for you. Say amen. See, we need to enter into that washing of the word. We need to have that soil worked over. And no matter how long you've been a Christian, there are hard spots in our lives. Amen? Not every field is the same. Neither is our heart. There are times some things are tender and we're real soft, and there are other things that we need some work on. Oh, I'm preaching now. But listen to me, the whole field must produce. That must mean our whole hearts need to be softened in those areas. Sometimes we can build strongholds in areas. Well, that's the way I've always been. No, we can always change too. Amen? Come on. Is God good? In Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst and say, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you're converted and become like this little child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Look at verse 4. "Wherefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God." Jesus gives us the power to walk in humility. They ask the question, hey, who will be greatest? Like many times we want to know, hey, Lord, what's my reward? I want, Lord, who's going to be on your right? Who's going to be on your left? And they pose the question to Jesus. And I can see the audience going, I wonder who he's going to say. I wonder who he's going to lift up on the pedestal. I wonder what names he's going to bring back from the history that was already recorded. And all of a sudden he calls out a little child. It doesn't have a name here, but he picks a little child and says, come on up here. Come on up here. Sit right here. Wouldn't that be fascinating that that becomes the greatest? That no one could refute This child hasn't done much in life. It's still young. But they wanted, Jesus wanted to show that, hey, the personality, the heart is what I'm looking for. He said, listen to me, unless you enter in like a child. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go back to 4 years old to get saved. But that means that heart, like, Lord, I trust you. When kids really trust their parents, they'll become obedient to it. Amen? My brother used to do that with his kids. We used to have a pickup truck, and he'd have them on the back, and he had this little game where they'd run, and they'd jump off, and he'd catch them. Well, the truck, when you're a little kid, this high is pretty high. Well, he remembers one time that he wasn't paying attention. He had kind of, this kid ran, he thought he was going to catch him, his back was turned, and he just caught the glimpse, and he reached out and just caught the kid before he fell. Amen? How many of those, God has done that a whole lot of times? We've jumped without looking before. Oh, thank God for his rescue. Amen? But I notice that when a child is trusting his parents, they'll follow along. But notice it says there, unless you become like this little child, unless you humble yourself, the kingdom of God needs a fresh humility. Are we walking in our own power, our own strength? Are we walking in our own ability? Are we saying, just how I feel is what I do? That's not real humility. Lord, I'm humbling myself before your mighty hand. I need you. In Matthew 23, verse 11 says this, he who is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. A humble person isn't looking for that status. He's saying, you know, what do I need to do? People need to be served. And when we serve people, we must serve them out of great humility. Are you hearing me? In Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then becomes the snare or destruction. But humble is in wisdom. In 1 Peter 5, 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yes, all of you be submitted one to another and clothed in humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Can you imagine the world coming to the church and seeing the church humble about what they're doing? I mean, that's a different church. That's a different lifestyle. It's not looking at, say, for me, no, I put you first. Come on in, take the best seat. Hallelujah. Humility is conviction of sin. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me in this area. Humility is a right estimate of ourselves. In Romans 12, verse 3 says this, though grace has been given to me, every one of you not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, for God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I love this. Humility is a sense of unworthiness of God's goodness and grace. Not that you don't deserve it, but Lord, who am I that I got such great, great grace? Amen? When I look today, I want a fresh dose of humility set in. Not just like, oh, we're walking humble. I'm humble. No, you demonstrated in character. This child is now sitting on a platform where the greatest teachers would lie. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm not looking at you scribes and you Pharisees, you chief priests. You ask me who the greatest is right here. How many want to look at heaven that way too? When we walk in pride, we're walking in our own strength. You want to know who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Those who've been humble. Those who've walked with their God. And that can be any person in any age. A grandmother can be rewarded more than any preacher. How many of us, we walk humble in that? Jesus is saying, this is the way it is. This is how truly it is. Jesus was a humble servant. Would you not agree? And even when we get there, he's still a humble servant, yet he's Lord of all. Hallelujah. That's why when we cast our crowns before his feet, thou art worthy. Amen. He's been our example. I like this. Humility is this. Humility is a wish to be great and a dread being called great. Humility is a wish to be great and a dread to be called great. When I look at humility, humility is always pushing up others upward and forward. In Matthew 23, verse 12, it says, he who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. God wants to lift us up. All the best gifts of the Spirit are always on the lower shelf. Unless you get to that place of humility, you're not seeing those things. Many times in the church, we can elevate one with another or lift another person up. But the truth is that we need to walk humble with our God. Amen? Come on. The power to produce humility. God, I want it. I want to be a church like that. Not that we say, oh, you're humble, and you're humble, and you're humble, and you're humble. You're humble, and you're humble. Oh, you're all humble. You're all. No, we demonstrate it. How many of us, when children get together, they have a different conversation? How many ever listen to kids talk? Sometimes it's fascinating, some things that come out. And now it's kind of shocking sometimes. Say amen. Some of the words they pick up on. And how bright they are to hack every one of your passwords. Say amen. I mean, it was a whole new generation. You know, before I seen, you have students that knew this and this. Now you have students that can do all kinds of things. Amen. When I look at protection and understanding, the humble man receives it from the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. Those who walk humble, God can reveal his secrets to them. Because you're not looking to scatter it abroad. You're not looking to be a tattletale. But God, I want to walk humbly with my God. When you realize that God's forgiven you of so much, it's easy to look at somebody else and have compassion on them. Say, man, God's forgiven me probably more than you've done. I mean, be forgiven. When I look at Jesus, whenever he was confronted with sin, he always spoke the truth in love. And if you ever notice when somebody always brought people to Jesus that were in sin, he never condemned them. He said, go and sin no more. Isn't that so cool about your God? Isn't it amazing, though, that many people will bring up your sin, too? Always get to Jesus. Let me say this to you. If it's under the blood, you're forgiven. Amen. And woe on anybody dig that up. The greatest defense against Satan is humility. It keeps us from falling into his traps. Because when you're walking humble with your God, you start to have a right perspective of who you are, a right perspective of what's going on. But pride is that silent thing. Now, when I look at a bear, how many ever seen a bow and arrow? Probably everybody here, true? I'm not the greatest shot, but I shot a few times. When it comes to the enemy, it's like we'd like to know it's all hand-in-hand combat. But see, the enemy never really plays fair. There are times it'll be close proximity, but he's one like this. He's always in a distance, just far enough away to shoot a fiery arrow. And sometimes it's hidden in an area. Maybe it's over a bush or behind a door or whatever. But if you have the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith on, you can always defend yourself even from an arrow you don't even see fly by night. And if you're saturated in the oil of the Holy Spirit, that arrow will come, but it'll soon extinguish. I can't stop the arrows from coming and trying to penetrate, but you can be equipped to stop it. Because you can get to the place where you're vulnerable. Pride makes you vulnerable. And all of a sudden now the arrow strikes and it hurts. It penetrates that area and all of a sudden it's a great sting. How many want to be clothed in that area? Sometimes it's nice to know if it's hand in hand, well, he's right in front of you. Boom, boom, we're doing it, dueling it out. But what about that arrow that comes? Sometimes it's so quick you can't see it. And truly, if you look at an arrow in the naked eye, man, it's pretty fast. You're not stopping it. You're not doing that kung fu thing like in the movies. You're not blocking all those. And you're not doing this either. You're not that bad, amen? Come on, you're flesh. Maybe the Lord can do it, but that'd be supernatural. Say amen. But I look at it, the best defense against Satan, Lord, I want to walk humble. I want to walk in those things. That means not trusting in your own ability or what other people say. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I need you. I need you, Lord God. It gives us that power to service in those arenas. In Psalm 126, verse 6, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, doubtless will come again with rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. If you'll sow in those areas of prayer, God, I want you to move. And it comes to that place where you're just weeping it out. God, work in this area. And you're scattering the seeds as you go out. What's going to happen is those seeds are going to germinate. And in due time, all of a sudden, people are going to get saved. And you're going to rejoice with them. Isn't that cool? I want us to have a church like that. We can't get it without the sowing and the sharing. Come on. That secret time in prayer, I'm humble, God, I want you to move. It's a spiritual principle. Is this good? Yeah. Secondly here, the power to produce a hunger for God. How many want to be more hungry for God? In Psalm 63, verse 1 through 3, it says, oh my God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked to you in your sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. The psalmist is saying, you know what, Lord? I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. When you start to walk humble, all of a sudden you have a right appetite. When's the last time you heard somebody's hunger for God? Come on, hunger for God. Thirsty for the living God. The psalmist said, I'll find you in your sanctuary. I'll find you in that place, your power and your glory. I want that hunger. God alone can satisfy the hunger and thirst. Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, that last day of the feast, he stood and cried, if anyone thirsts, come and come after me and drink. Hallelujah. Drink of my spirit. Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Listen, you won't be hungry for God unless you've tasted his goodness. You can talk all about how good it is, but once you've tasted and see, man, you don't want anything less. Now, does anybody like steak in here? How many like steak? Like good steak, not good steak. There's a big difference. Okay? Most of you. Some of you like that. How many like a good pepper? Okay. How about a banana? How about salad? I'll make sure I get every food group going here, so everybody's happy. But there's something about a good steak for me with the right amount of seasoning, the right amount of sauce. It's hard to explain how good it is. Now, if you hate meat, I understand. But I don't, all right? But when I cut into that and it's like, when I pray unto him, when I spend time in the Holy Spirit, taste and see that he is good. And when you drink of that well, man, you don't want to go to anything less. Amen? Every other well is polluted. The world's well is polluted. I don't want to keep drinking it. I can't drink fresh water and salt water. Come on. Lord Jesus, I want to drink from your well. Humility places you in that position, Lord, than hunger, God, a hunger and a thirst. In Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. In Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. We should look at the word of God as such. Not like, oh, I got to read the word. No, it's sweet. It's sweeter than honey in my mouth. That means you're chewing on it. You're speaking it out. God, your word is good. That's a different conversation than the world has. Amen? I've heard people brag about, hey, I saw a good movie. Or I read a good book. Man, I've got a good book here. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is a living book. Amen? I wonder if we're going to have a big, big screen there. And it would be fun to replay Noah getting in the ark, wouldn't it? The Red Sea parting. I don't know if we'll get that, but I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. Could you imagine Moses narrating the Red Sea? And here we were, down by the water. The Egyptians were right behind us. They were coming hard. And God said, go forward. Can you imagine that, go forward? 3 million plus people behind me. I don't know what to do. And God said, what's in your hand? Stretch it out. And I stretch it out. All of a sudden, the water goes, whoop, whoop. And then he says something like this, go forward, and we all started walking. It wasn't mushy, it wasn't anything. It was like God paved the lanes all the way there. And it took us all night to get across there, all of us. It took all night, from the greatest to the smallest, all our children, all our... And then he says, on the other side, I want you to turn around and watch your enemies be washed away. So we all turned and the water receded. Hallelujah. He'd make a great narrative, wouldn't it? How many can see that picture? God's given us imagination. We have to use it for his good. Amen? Listen, we're too easily satisfied by worldly things. Man, I don't want to be satisfied with worldly things. I covered this a couple weeks ago in Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, who hold no water. Being satisfied, I've learned this. If we're satisfied with the world, we become complacent and lukewarm. We become complacent and lukewarm. There's a call to intimacy in the secret place in Song of Solomon 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, your love is better than wine. Your fragrance is so good. Your ointment pours forth. We need that today. Come on. God, I want to have that intimate time with you. Taste and see. We shouldn't have to leave the Lord. We shouldn't have to have barren times in our life. Yes, there are times where the well is going deeper. We feel like we're dry, but I'm here to tell you, keep drilling. Keep faithful. God will bring forth a new harvest. Amen? You can't keep drinking from that. Lord, go deeper in that. Are you satisfied with your relationship with the Lord? I'm not. I love my Lord, but God, I want to know more. I want to grow greater. Amen? Humility places you in that position. Hunger starts to work in your life. And you know what? When you taste and see, I'm not going back. I said, I'm not going back. Number three, if you're taking notes, the power to produce, you know what? Happiness. I want to see joy return to the house of God. We deal with so much stuff, don't we? Yes or no? Every report like this, even if you watch the news, man, and I can't. About 10 minutes in, oh, I can't watch this stuff. Amen? And I agree with James. And if there's a movie that's cussing out my God, that movie's not for me. Later, dudes. Amen? He's Lord of all. I've learned this for where there's joy, there's strength. Come on, where there's joy, there's strength. How many want to walk in great strength at the end here? How many want to finish your days in great strength? And you know what? Happiness, joy needs to be part of that. God's power is, I believe this, happiness is the gift from God. Happiness is not the goal to achieve, but the blessing to be enjoyed. Come on. It's the blessing to be enjoyed. Is the joy of the Lord our strength? Yes or no? Are you going to be bummed in heaven? Then you shouldn't be bummed on earth. This is just a continuation of where we're at there. I know we have flesh, but you know what? You can overcome everything in your life. Didn't Jesus say, I overcame, so shall you? And he made it real simple. The world, the flesh, and the devil. All three of those you can overcome. That's a promise from him. Amen? When I look at joy, how many want to have joy? Joy, yeah, I got it. Joy, I just can't hide it. Joy, That's my best, all right? Amen? What if the worship team went up here and did this? Okay. It's time to worship. Turn to Psalm 64, amen. I'm glad we're done with that. Let's move on, praise the Lord. Come on. There's got to be some joy in the house. We need to be the ones that just let it flow. It's not a goal to be happy. I'm happy because I'm blessed. If God does nothing more for any of us, I'm thankful for what he's already done. Hallelujah. But he'll be with me. You know what? He's happy to be with me. I need to be happy to be with him. He never has time with me going, oh, Kathy, got to spend time with her today. Oh, no. Oh, it's going to be tough. She had a great testimony today, right, Kathy? All right. She got a chance to get the discount at Salvation Army. Amen. She gets a senior discount now. 55. She's getting a little discount going on there, amen? Yeah. That's why my wife drags me to that place, so she gets a senior discount. I keep telling the lady, no, I'm not old enough for that. She goes, yeah, you are. Oh, I forgot to mention this to you. I forgot to mention this to my wife. Carl and I were together the other day. And we were walking down, we were downtown, and there was this gentleman. They were doing a little panhandling, asking for money. And I said, look, I can give you something better than that. And he said, you know, I see you're walking with your son. And I didn't say anything. I just looked at Carl and go, all right, son, all right? And I go, do I look like your dad? I'm like, I didn't correct the guy, but I'm thinking to myself, wow, brother, amen. I guess I got to hang with people that are a little bit older than me, so I look, yeah. And then I look at Carl, and Carl's like this. He's not saying anything. He's not saying, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. It's kind of one of those conversations that got quiet, you know. But amen. It is what it is. Amen. This is what it is. Praise God. Though outwardly I'm getting older, yet inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Inside I'm 23 years old and making it. Hallelujah. Amen. Got to own that. All right, I'll be good. When I look at happiness, you know, that joy comes from being faithful. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. When I look at happiness and joy, it's found with the right focus. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 12 and 13, and it speaks to that area that men should enjoy those things and even your labor, that it's a gift of God. You should be able to look at your day and say, God, thank you for today. I know your seed source may be here or here or here, but man, at the end of the day, God, thank you for the strength today. Amen? You're going to meet the needs today, God, according to your riches and glory. And if you look at life, isn't it like a vapor? Look at all of us. We become old slowly and suddenly. True? And it's like the years seem to rock you by. Do you know spring is next Wednesday? Woo! Amen? I don't have any robins yet at my house, but if they came over, they'll freak out. Anybody at your house? You got one? I know they're coming back like, man, where's the worms? Amen. Long flight. When it comes to happiness, it's found in acknowledging that God has a plan for our lives. Humility leads us in that direction. Hunger starts to work within us. And you know what? Happiness begins to flow. If happiness starts to become part of our life, you know what? We don't miss what God has. I love to know that I'm in the center of God's will. I look at the grace of God as like a giant football field. I can run anywhere in there and be okay. The boundary line, there's sin and there's sin. Don't cross over. I have great freedom to serve our God. Now, not everything's profitable. Not everything is expedient either. If this offends my brother, I don't want to do that. Amen? For conscience sake. But man, having this life in Christ is great freedom. Knowing that I'm forgiven of all my sins, knowing that heaven's my home, man, that's an unbelievable thing. Knowing that I can know the creator of the universe, that he is my savior, is the greatest thing ever. We need to speak about the goodness of God, what God has done for us. The world has no clue how great our God is. They use him as a cuss word. They don't have any clue. They're only speaking what the enemy speaks. The enemy is always trying to shade over what he looks like, what he's like, what his character is like. The Bible says, arise and shine, amen? What if the church starts walking humble, hungry, hallelujah, and happy? You know what the result's going to be? Healthy. The power to produce health. How many want to be healthy? My confession is this, that our latter days are greater than our former. I spoke this the other day before the Lord. Lord, your people need the greatest strength for the last days. Then grant it to your people. Come on. It doesn't take a prophet to figure out what hour we're in. Could you imagine if the Holy Spirit was removed from this planet for just a second? What would break out? The Bible says that which withholdeth is still in operation. And that's so true. The church is still across this world. People that I'll spare it because of you. It's powerful. When we look at the church, God always looks at worldwide, not just an America thing, not just a Western thing. He looks at the church. What's the church doing? In Exodus 15, verse 26, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do what's right in his sight, give ears to his commands, and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. There's a portion that we have to have here. We must diligently heed to God's voice. Do what's right in his sight. Give ear to his commands and keep all his statutes. Notice there's a portion that we want. We like the end of the verse. He heals us. Keep the other part. You have a right to the promise. Amen? In 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins on the tree. How many believe that? How many believe Jesus bore your sins? How many have the faith to believe that area? How many, without a shadow of a doubt, that's a reality. Notice that since that is true and we're working with that, we're saved. How about let's make that in the second part of the verse. Having died to sin, that we might live to righteousness, and by whose stripes we're healed. What if the same faith arose in us at the second part of the verse as it does for the first? I want it to. We got a lot of faith for salvation. We do. We have any problem? None at all, true? Then I want to have it on the second part. I haven't arrived yet, but I want to have it. I'm sowing it into me. Lord, you're able to save as well as able to heal. Which is harder for you, God? Amen? I know that death one day is a breakdown of cells. I know it's the end of a life. But you know, while we're on this planet, I want to have a good journey. How many want to have a good journey? Then, Lord, I want that. Moses' eye was not dim, neither was his strength abated. Joshua was old and still could bend a bow of bronze. Lord, then you're able to do that. All these men, the whole secret of their life is they spent time with God. Then I want to spend time with you, Lord. Amen? Come on. I've had times where I haven't felt well. I mean, really, really ill. And said, you know what? I'm still going to pray and seek him with all my heart. And I remember one time, I said, Lord, I know you know I'm ill. And you're well. So touch me now that we both can be well at the dining table. Boom! Healed me right then. Wow. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Lord, says, doesn't it say come and dine? Come and eat? Come spend time with me? If you're hacking, how many knows he knows you need a touch? Okay. Healing works because it's been established by the cross. In Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were what? How many knows that's what the cross took? Then Lord, if you took that, you didn't take it in vain. Amen? If I'm hungry for you, Lord, I'm hungry, God. I'm humbly walking for you, Lord God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to walk in a new divine health. Amen? Healing work is established by right living. True? Come on. You run yourself down. It's never going to work. No one loves me. How many of those of you can believe your own testimony? I don't want to believe my own testimony that's wrong. I want to hear the testimony of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for in them you have given me life. And God, I'm going to walk in that. Remember you read in Exodus 15, 26, hold that word. Understand those precepts. Understand his command. Amen? When I look at that healing work, listen, I thank God for doctors too. I'm going to make this statement. They have put me back together. I don't have a problem with physicians, but they're limited. Is everybody with me on this? There's limitations. God has none. Are you with me? I've been on the operating table several times in my life. I thank God that there were great doctors and nurses. Many of them are Holy Ghost Spirit-filled. I've had them hold my hand even while I'm going out in anesthesia. I'm like, that's so cool. Not knowing their names, but them looking down at me saying, you know what, God's got this. Hallelujah. I'm praying for you. How many of that's great comforting? If you've ever been in surgery, sometimes they knock you out before they get there. This last time I went in, they'd done it just before I got there, and this particular operating room had a mirror light that was probably about 6 foot in diameter. And then they pulled that over me. Man, it's like I was looking in the face of God. It was so bright. I'm like, wow. Because whatever they just shot me with was like, man, dude. And then I looked at the guy next to me. How many ever seen those cartoons where the eyes get really bulged big? I swear that's the way the guy's eyes looked. And I remember going, wow. I know I was going out. And he said, I want you to, and he's chuckling. I want you to count back from 10. I'm like, I had to think 10. 10. Oh, okay, 9. I think I made it to 8. And that was it, all right? That was it, all right? I mean, those going out was better, or going out of that was better than waking back up. Because then you have the harsh reality of all that's been moved around and shoved and carried and whatnot. Amen? So I don't mind the medical treatments. They've made great advancements. But here's the truth. In 2 Kings 20 verse 1, it says, in the days of Hezekiah, he was near death. And the prophet Isaiah came to him. He said, listen to me. Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order that you're going to die, not live. But here's what it says in 2 Chronicles. It says this. King Asa, he was diseased in his feet. And he didn't seek the Lord, but he only sought physicians. The first gentleman, Hezekiah, God heard his prayers. And the prophet came back around. I'm going to let him live. Go back and tell him he's going to live. How many need God to step through in that midnight hour? Amen? Listen, consulting only them, you need to consult the Lord. He's the author of all life. He can step through in the situation. He can turn that out of the way. How many understand that? Amen? When God's healing works, you know what? As a church, we need to do this more by the laying on of hands. Power is released by the laying on of hands. In James 5 verse 14, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. How many knows that the Lord will raise him up? But you may not feel like it. You may feel like, well, I don't like that. I got to go forward. People are going to be around me. I don't want that. Notice you're taking yourself out of the miracle. Well, God can touch me in the seat. Yes, but he may want somebody to pray for you. Humility says, you know what, no matter what, I'm going there. How many of you lay all that aside? When you're walking humble, you don't care what somebody else thinks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm getting there. Notice everyone who got a miracle in the New Testament, they were going to be denied. I'm getting to them. I'm getting to them. I'm getting to them. I got to push past the disciples. I got to push past this. No matter what it takes, I'm getting to them. I wonder how many would have had the miracle, but they just never got to him. He was ready to do it, even when he went to his own hometown. I believe he wanted to make an unbelievable move, and he says that he only could pray for a few sick folk because they said he's just relegated to the carpenter's son. Isn't this not the carpenter's son? So much unbelief that even Jesus couldn't do many mighty works. And if he couldn't, how much more we think we can when unbelief is so prevalent? Oh, I'm preaching now. Lord, change us, God. We want it, Lord, in you. We need you, Lord Jesus. When we're walking humble in that, no. If you have an ailment, come. Pray, oh Lord, I want a miracle. Your word says this. My responsibility is to pray. God's responsibility is for the rest. And when you keep it in that arena, then there's a miracle every time. It's the Lord's work. When we walk humble with our God, you know what? You'll receive. Come on. How many of us, we can see that in prayer. In my prayer time right now, I'm really focusing. Lord, I want to see instant miracles manifest in our midst. Why do we have to have 2 weeks and again to get a miracle? Why does it have to be a month later? Why can't it be now? Why not? How many want to see some now? I need it now. Why not now? Didn't Jesus say, greater works shall you do? Didn't he say, signs and wonders shall follow the what? The believer? Are you a believer? Then why do we neglect to say, hey, why not me? Why not you? Why not the church? Why not the individual? We have that responsibility to pray, then believe. And if you're going to pray for somebody, believe that God's going to touch you. Amen? It's like this. Father, in the name of... Flow, God, your healing virtue. God, meet the needs here. Amen? This body respond. Not like a little bless me. Amen. Go your way. Sin. No, come on. Add some faith to that area. But your faith is already built up outside and you bring it inside. What you do in secret, I can't do. But that's where God will reward you. He'll reward you what you do when nobody sees. Do you want it bad enough for them? Then we seek the Lord for that. Come on, you want to see them touch more than yourself. Like any of you parents. If you choose between you being sick or your kids, you'd take it. But how much more your father? Do you think he cares? He does care. When Adam and Eve sinned, it broke his heart. His divine order was shattered in that moment. Look, what I've designed for you guys, you're not even going to walk in it now. Amen? But thank God that he said, I'm going to send my son and restore all things. One day it'll be just like it was, only better. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's the last one. But Jesus said, as I've overcome, so shall you. And even Jesus has tasted physical death just like we. Isn't that cool? In every way, he was just like us. He knows what it's like to breathe his last. In fact, the matter is, he knows it in a greater way. He knows what it's like to be separate from his Father. Something I never want to feel. Amen? I never want to feel, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, what a day that'll be, man. Gosh. For anyone, even your worst enemy, you don't want in hell. Nobody. When you start to walk humble, you start to look at people and say, you know what, Lord, I touch them. Even if they've been rude or wrong to you, Lord, touch them. Because where would you be without Jesus? We become calloused when it becomes normal. And most people walk in that. They think it's God's will just to move on and do their own thing. I'm here to tell you, that's not what the Lord does. He changes you from glory to glory. That's his plan. He has a plan for all of us. Are we more like Christ than we were before? If not, we need to get with him. Amen? Let me ask, where is your hunger? Where's your thirst at? You can get so filled with everything that bombards your ears and eyes that your devotion can wane or it becomes secondary. Sometimes you just got to unload and unplug. Which reminds me, if anybody in here has an old smartphone that's broke, you don't need it, I need it. I just need one. Doesn't have to work at all. I don't care if the guts are ripped out of it. I need a cell phone like that. So if you know, huh? I'm not giving it back. I need it for a prop. So if anybody's got one, let me know. I'll take it from you and I'll use it as a prop. It doesn't have to work though. Amen. So, a little side note there. Amen. My responsibility is to pray. Somebody say, pray. What's your responsibility? Pray. Come on. How many of us, it's to pray? It's no different. When the Exodus was written in 1526, how many of us, we all need to heed to the word. We all need to walk in that ways. Well, humility says, you know what, God, I need you. Complacency says, I'll get to it. Humility says, you know what, yeah, I'll do that now. Complacency says, you know what, I'll get to it. You never get to it. That's why you promise somebody to pray, make it now. I've learned that if you don't pray for them now, you'll probably forget in an hour. And many times the opportunity is like there. When you go shopping and you see what you need, you buy it. Otherwise, you go back, it's gone. Say amen. Now, that's if it's in your means and you have some self-control, right? How many have ever been out of control in your shopping? Oh, look at all these people here, amen? How many of you can get in, buy and buy and buy and buy it? You got to have some self control. Amen. And if you need to go shopping, you can go with Kathy now. She'll give you a discount there. She's joined that elite crew, the double nickel crew. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when we pray, we should believe. Whatsoever we pray, believe. Well, in your prayer time, how many are speaking the healing over? Come on, do that. I've learned this, that if I do that in my secret time praying, Lord, touch him in the name of Jesus, it gives me more faith when it comes in contact with people. Yeah. Come on. It works. I believe that all my Kathy and I had a conversation. She wasn't feeling well, and all of a sudden, wham, oh, she felt better. How many believe the power of prayer works? How many of us, God can still send his word and do what? Heal. What if the whole church is focusing on that to pray? How many of us, strongholds are coming down? I don't know why certain things happen at certain times. I don't. That's in the mind of Christ. My job is to pray. It's his job to do the rest. But I do know in due time I will reap if I don't faint. Well, let me put this together. How many want to really be humble? Honestly, Lord, I want to be humble before you. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Not my rights, your rights. When Christians walk in their own strength, it's always my rights, what I want to do. This is what I'm doing. Lord, what do you want to do? Amen? Well, a new hunger. I want a new hunger. Not to say you're not hungry. I want a new hunger. I want a new hunger. I got a new hunger and thirst. I'm in revival. I am. That ticks some people off, but tough. I'm in a revival. I'm being changed from glory to glory. I am bold to say it. Amen? I'm going to be greater man of God by the end of this year than I was at the beginning of this year. How many of us, that's a testimony for all of us.
You'll be a greater Christian than you were at the beginning of this year. That's not a prideful statement. That's a true statement. Are you hungering and you're thirsting for righteousness? Taste and see, oh, he's so good. That eliminates me from getting people to jumpstart my faith. No, I'm already tasting. It's already good. Hallelujah. Taste and see, amen. I got enough water. If you need a drink, you can have some. You drink some of this, you won't want what the world has. Amen. Which leads me to happiness. How many want to be happy in the house? Let's get happy in the house. You're breaking it down one time. I get up in the morning at 6 a.m. I cranked up the box and began to jam. I was rocking to the beat of P.O.D. when my mother came in and started yelling at me. I said, chill out, Mom. I'm just making some noise. Listen to the beat of My Homeboys. I thought I was bad. I thought I was cool. I packed up my bags and I headed for school. All right. I went off somewhere, amen? Some deep resources way over there. But God is good, amen? I want happiness. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. And you know, when I have that joy, people didn't give it, God gave it. Happiness is a blessing, not just a goal. It's a blessing, it's a life lived out. No matter what you face, you can overcome, amen? You may weep at night, but joy will come in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Which leads me to divine health. I want health and strength in our congregation. I want that testimony I heard from that pastor. I was preaching about healing, and God healed the people. I want that. I want that in our midst. I know the struggles. I have my own. Lord, I want that in our midst. How many want to walk in that divine health and strength? We all need that strength for this last days. Then, Lord, it's your promise. Your word says this. Then help me to incorporate your word. Just like I believe salvation, Lord, I want to believe this also. Amen? It's part of the atonement. Hallelujah. How many want the power to produce humility? Amen? How many want hunger? How many want that truly happiness? You want that health. God's spirit and power will do both. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord God, that your power is able to produce these. So Lord, we speak that victory upon in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we want to walk more humble with our God. Lord, knowing that we're dealing with sin, Lord, is humility. Lord, you said that humility is true strength in you. That pride comes before a fall. But Lord, the humble shall receive and be glad. That God, you share your secrets with those who walk humbly with their God. Lord, we want to know you. And Lord, you said, taste and see that you're good. Oh, we want to taste and see. That Lord Jesus, you said that if you drank of the water that you give, we'll never thirst again. Lord, if we'll dine at your table, we'll never be hungry again. Lord, let me have your appetite in your word. Lord, what's in your spirit? And Father, I pray, Lord, I come against the spirit of heaviness. Lord, in every measure, that Lord Jesus, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord, I'm going to fight for that joy and walk in it. I'm going to contend for that joy and walk in it. I'm going to come against everything that hinders that. That today's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Hallelujah! I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord Jesus, that divine health will be our portion. If you would, lift your hands. Father, I speak over this congregation. Not one sick or feeble one among us. Lord, not only these that are here, but all of Lighthouse family. Those that couldn't be here tonight. A divine healing, Lord God. A corporate healing to be upon us. A corporate soul winning to be upon us. A corporate deliverance to be upon us. Lord God, new converts birthed in the kingdom. The womb of the Spirit, Lord God, open and mature in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said no good thing will you withhold. And Lord, now we believe it, that anointing upon, a fresh baptism of fire, a fresh anointing, fresh wind to blow in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill, Lord God. Now, if you have the gift of the Holy Spirit working in you, I want you to begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to solidify those things. Begin to speak that mystery there. Father, work in the name of Jesus. Father, seal that by your Holy Spirit.